Hey, Nugget fans, this is Coach Bowen of the Denver Nuggets, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KSKA.
Now you're just messing with me, Jades. You know I have no energy. Zero energy. But this guy does. Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes. Great friend of mine. Mark, great to catch up with you. I was out all week. COVID finally took hold of me, my friend. But I'm back in the mix today. Glad you could join us, man.
You know, years ago, very early in my career, I was at Purdue University. And I was very young at the time. I'm in my early to mid-20s, I guess. And I said to legendary Hall of Fame coach Gene Cady, I said, about his guys being tired. And I'm going to quote Gene Cady to you, my young friend. When you're that young, you don't get tired. It's all psychological.
I'm trying my best, man. I did some push-ups. I was trying to do some one-arm push-ups. Couldn't do one. But I can never do that. So I don't think it has anything to do with the Rona.
No, that's not a COVID issue. That's a you issue, man.
Mark, dude, I'm seeing you're all over the. When are you going to start that nature show? Because I want to be in on that. I might not know anything, but I could be the dumb idiot that hosts it and then sets you up for greatness. So when are you ready to start this podcast thing, man? Because I am living vicariously through you, whether I have COVID or not. Watching your adventures, just I'm like, I want to be Mark Johnson. How do I do that?
But what did you see the roping video from last time?
I saw
time?
The roping one. Weren't you fishing lately, recently too?
Yeah.
I mean, it's all of it. All of the things that I love that I suck at that you're great at.
I don't know anything either. I'm just stupid enough to go out there and just do it. So, I'm not an expert in anything. I'm just dumb enough to try. So, hey, and by the way, that's coming to the end here pretty quick now. You know, my off-season wrapping up here. Next Friday, a week from today, I do a 100-mile wilderness horseback ride.
Yes.
We'll leave the 22nd, come back on the 29th, and then right after that, August 1st, the Buffs report, and then we're underway. So, you know, summer's almost over for guys like us.
Yeah, you're getting it all in right now, man. It's great. Keep it up. Like I said, you just call me. We'll get that podcast going. We're going to break records. I'm ready for it.
I want to get you out roping one night, man. Okay. Get you on a horse so you can rope something.
You know, I was I grew up on a farm, but I was never a cowboy. But I did do a goat roping through two of my little buddies when I was a youngster. And what? I was so good at roping, they said, you just be the guy that holds the leg. So, once we get him down, you just hold the leg so it doesn't kick Billy in the face, man. So I was the leg holder. That was exciting for me.
Well, we're still going to try sometime.
Yeah, we'll give it a try. I'm down 100%. Mark, so I'm out all week, but I'm still trying to pay attention. I figured, oh, great, this is when all the more news is going to come down with all the conference realignment stuff. I didn't think we'd have kind of a quiet week, but it has simmered a little bit? Like, what's the status going on? I figured we'd have three teams out of the Pac-12 by the time I returned today.
Well, you know, I wondered about that as well. I'm convinced it's going to happen next week, but I'm not only going to be gone, but I'll be totally out of cell signal for about six, 7 days. But, you know, it's interesting. I was with Rick George on, Wednesday, I guess, played a little CU golf outing, and had a chance to talk with him a little bit. He did a little press conference as well. And, you know, this thing is, it's sitting very quiet. Now, keep in mind, from a Pac-12 standpoint, we're in that 30-day window for negotiation on their media rights. And so that's going on right now. There has been a agreement, or at least a public sentiment, that all 10 remaining teams, everybody in the Pac-12, with the exception of UCLA and USC, they're all committed to one another. But, you know, maybe I've said it on your show, maybe I haven't, but, you know, you're only as loyal as your options. And so we'll see what that looks like. As we get here towards the end of this 30-day window we're in, and the negotiations, or at least the conversations, are going on from a media rights standpoint with the Pac-12, when you get towards the end of that, now, as I think we're talking early August, I think then you may start seeing some action if the numbers are not what they hope that they are. And what I mean by that, if that media rights deal doesn't promise each school a significant raise from where they have been, then I think you might see some activity kind of cranking up again. At this point, we're in kind of a wait and see, and everyone's trying to read the tea leaves a little bit, figure out what exactly it's going to look like. And at the end of this, it could become very active again.
Once we start this, like, let's say the opposite happens, and next week we get through maybe the next few weeks. Once we start the season, then do you look at things and go, if we haven't heard anything then, we're going to put this thing on a shelf until next season? But you're pretty confident we're going to start hearing something again in the next couple of weeks.
I would think so. I would certainly think by that first, second week of August, okay? I would have to believe we're going to get some sense of where this is all going to go. Right now, everything in the world in college athletics is waiting in South Bend, Indiana, on Notre Dame. Everyone waiting, in the Big Ten especially, sitting to see what Notre Dame is going to do. Will they finally, after 100-some years, join a conference, or will they stay independent? My guess is they stay independent. I don't foresee, and everyone I've talked to doesn't foresee them jumping in to a conference situation. They've got their own television deal with NBC. They've got enormous amounts of money. And it's not, you know, like the rest of us, where they need that kind of set of circumstances. So my guess is that they don't. Now, what does that do for the Big Ten? That's a good question. They want to expand beyond that? I don't get that sense. I haven't talked to anybody that gets that sense that they want to expand. They'll take Notre Dame. There's phenomenal value. Then if they take Notre Dame, somebody else might be going with. I've heard speculation about Stanford. I don't know about that. I'm not convinced of that. I still think the Oregon-Washington thing might be most likely. That's my gut anyway. And so if Notre Dame jumps, somebody else is going to go. So they'll expand by two in the Big Ten. If they don't, my sense at this point is that the Big Ten probably sits. Now, the next thing to kind of watch for in that is what happens in the ACC with Clemson and Florida State and Miami and North Carolina. Would there be some raiding going on there, some pilfering going on there by the Big Ten, trying to pull them in? Maybe the SEC jumps in and does the same thing. And so that's going to be part of this as well. That then will kind of dictate what happens out west here. And does it remain the Pac-10? Do they expand? You look at a San Diego State, you look at someone like along those lines, or does the Pac-10 begin to fall apart? You've got maybe the Four Corner schools jumping to the Big 12. You know, so the dominoes, I think right now the linchpin's Notre Dame. And we'll kind of watch that and see where that all goes.
Yeah, that's what I'm so curious to see, what the future is for Notre Dame. And again, this is part of that fun stuff with college football. Like, oh, Notre Dame just not in a conference. They had that deal in the 20s. I don't know, Mark. They've been, like, independent forever. But at the end of the day, like you told us 2 weeks ago, it is what the money situation looks like. And if it does look like for Notre Dame, going and joining the Big Ten or whatever is going to be more beneficial than staying independent. I mean, they're going to go the route of the money. That's where we're headed.
Yeah, I always follow the money. But like I said, there's a couple of schools out there that, because of their endowments, because of what they are, because of what their history has been, they have enormous amounts of money. And Notre Dame is one of them. Stanford is another one. I mean, their endowment at Stanford is, I don't know, $5 billion. I don't know what it is. Some stupid amount of money, okay? And so Notre Dame's not going to be moved and motivated nearly as much as the rest of us would be in terms of, well, it looks like the individual members of the Big Ten are going to get $80 million. That's not necessarily as motivating to them as it would be to the rest of us. And so they're in kind of a different world, if you will, a different stratosphere than the rest of us in terms of making those kind of decisions. And so I just don't foresee that. I mean, maybe I'm totally wrong. Maybe they do jump. But, you know, there's been work on that for a long time. I mean, heck, the ACC has talked with Notre Dame. When I was in the Big East, they were talking with Notre Dame because they were a basketball member at that point in time. Everyone's taken a run at it. The Big Ten has taken a run at them a number of times, and they've never done it. And I'm just not sure that, you know, this is going to be the time in which they're going to do it.
We're talking to Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes. Mark, I heard one of your pals, Joel Klatt, talking about that, and I could listen to Joel talk college football all day long.
Sure.
But Joel kind of comes at this from, maybe right now it doesn't look good for college football. It doesn't look good for the Pac-12, see, whatever. But he thinks, just to kind of summarize a very in-depth conversation, he said in a roundabout way, a couple years down the road, whatever, he thinks ultimately all of this stuff is going to be good for the game of college football. Where do you stand on that?
Well, I've heard Joel say that before, and I'm a little hard-pressed to go all the way to where he is. Now, could the game be healthy in a couple of years? I do think that's a possibility. I really think he's correct in that regard. But the one issue that I've got about this, and I've expressed this numerous times, is the college game is very unique to the NFL game, okay? What it means, what it constitutes, how it's put together, what the attraction is for people within those given university fan bases. And to me, I'm worried about that. What I'm really concerned about, I've said this on your show many times, that concept of the break, so, you know, they break up the NCAA, they create this own league, whatever, it's 60, 70, 80 teams. Let's say they go 80, right, and they can create four conferences and 20 teams, and each has a 10-team division, and that's what college football is, and they leave everybody else behind and take all the money and go and do their own thing. The athletes would be paid under those circumstances, okay? We've already got the NFL. We know what the NFL is. There's a reason we all like the NFL. There's also a reason why, and a very different reason why, we also like college football. And moving in that direction that I think it's all going, it may be healthy, but I'm not sure it's the same game, and I wonder about the wisdom of that moving forward. So I'll agree with Joel that, you know, it's going to be positive in some respects. I'm just not going nearly as far as he is.
Yeah, and I think, again, if you're an Alabama person, if you're an SEC person, a Big Ten person, you're not freaking out at all. You're just looking at it going, well, this is just going to be bigger. Our conferences are going to get bigger. So, I mean, the rich will get richer. That will get better for sure. But our concerns, Mark, and especially up here in, you know, in the Fort Collins Greeley area, you know, we look at CSU too. CU is kind of in that moment where maybe the Pac-12 survives, maybe it can pick the pieces back up, or CU goes elsewhere. We look even deeper into that here and look at the Mountain West Conference and go, okay, what does that mean for those conferences? They were already struggling to get a piece of the pie now with the situation. Yep. So, yeah, while it could be really good for a regular guy on a Saturday to watch some of these SEC Big Ten games, the rest of those conferences and those fans, that's where the real concern is. So I guess it just depends on what you love the most when it comes to college football.
Well, exactly. But the thing that always makes it unique, and I've been saying this for decades now, we love college football because, and listen, I've done plenty of NFL football over the years. They're very different games in terms of how they play. They're different in terms of the emotion, the atmosphere, what motivates us, right? I mean, regionally, we love the Denver Broncos because we live in the Rocky Mountains. Now, when it comes to colleges, that's a very different thing. We love those institutions because, yes, there's geography involved, but it's also the fact that I went there, my parents went there, my grandfather went there, or whatever it is, right? We love that connection. There's an investment in those institutions that draws us and connects us to those teams. And so that's a very different, I think, emotional component of college athletics than professional athletics. Professional athletics, we love teams because of the regionality of them, generally speaking. There's more to it than that in college athletics, and that ultimately, it seems to me, starts to change when you're talking about player contracts and all the things that are commonplace in professional sports league that are becoming now commonplace in college sports. And I think that really starts to change everything and really makes it a very different game, but much more like the NFL game. And so I do think that's a little concerning. And then what you just touched on, the Northern Colorados and Colorado States and UNLVs and Fresno States, yeah, and Boise State, that becomes a very delicate situation. If this thing breaks up, and like I said, it's the top 70 or 80 programs, they're going to do their own thing, that leaves everybody else behind. And then what they've left behind becomes a very, very different set of circumstances, even than it is now. And you won't even be able to compare what that is compared to whatever this super college sports venue or league, you know, becomes. It's really going to be interesting. And I don't think it's a good thing, because I think there a lot of people are going to lose a lot, and a few are going to gain a lot. And I don't think that's a good thing.
That's why I think you're right. I mean, there's just so, it's such a deep conversation. I mean, we have the luxury here where I sit, you know, we get to talk your world in the Pac-12 and the Power 5. Yep. We get to talk CSU in the Group of 5. We get to talk FCS. So, I mean, I'm kind of in all three of those worlds where I look at it and go,
sure,
okay, for the Power 5 groups, for most of those teams, okay, this could round out and be a pretty good thing for 90% of them. Who knows? The Group of 5, maybe 20%, maybe 10%. Then certainly, you know, the FCS is going to be where they are. But I who knows? Maybe that impacts the trickle-down effect, continues to go even down further. So, again, if I'm an SEC fan, yeah, I'm excited. It's gonna keep getting better for you. But the rest, it's scary times, my friend. Mark, I got to let you roll. You just call me. You let me know. We'll get this Nature podcast going. You've seen my Nature Minutes. You know I know what it takes to
sure,
be out there. I'm in the backyard with squirrels and stuff all the time, so you know I've got what it takes, man.
You battling the vicious squirrels of Northern Colorado.
Yes.
I tell you what, here's the deal. when you can do 10 push-ups, we'll start talking about doing
okay. Let me get through COVID first, okay? I also had a heavier lunch today, so let's give me a few days to train, all right?
All right. Sounds good, brother.
Mark, my friend, there he is. Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes. I love that guy. He's a great guy. And listen, he's a CU guy. He is a CU guy, and I think that if you're a Buffs fan, maybe you were freaking out at first with this Pac-12 news. I actually think it's going to work out for Colorado, whether you like that news or not, if you're a Rams fan listening. But Mark gets that. Mark is more of a traditional type college football fan. You know, he's not a big NIL guy. He's not a big transfer portal guy. He's certainly not a big conference jumping guy. And even when his teams do these things, he can speak some truth to it. It's a bizarre world, man. It's absolutely crazy. And we're going to see what happens more and more. First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. Near Broke says, sweet, an extra hour of the whole show. Welcome back. Well, an extra hour of Good Morning NoCo. It's going to be great. 6 to 2 local programming starting on August 1st. McLean has a tight end question. We'll talk about that, about Trey McBride next. Who's going to have the better pro career, Trey McBride or David Roddy? Go vote at thewholeshow.com. That's the Method Flow Products poll question. Short break coming up. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere. We're live from the Allo Communications Studios, a Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Insight you need before making that pick. Listen to Betting Across America with former Buff Mike Pritchard weekdays at 2 on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.